Welcome to Leveling Up with Lindsay, the podcast where we dive into leadership, small business, and everything in between. I'm Lindsay, your host and the proud owner of White Peony Boutique, a space created to empower women, build confidence, and foster meaningful connections. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a mom, a friend, or someone just looking for a little inspiration, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired. Join me as we share stories, strategies, and a little bit of life's chaos while navigating what it truly means to level up in starting a business, relationship, and personal growth. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfy, and let's level up together. Today's guest is someone who defines what it means to lead with courage, faith, and resilience. Audrey Nierenhausen is an incredible leader in our community. She's walked through tragedy and loss with loved ones, including battles with cancer. And instead of letting it break her, Audrey allowed it to shape her into someone stronger, kinder, and even more determined. She is the founder of Keystone Home Finance, a thriving business she built from the ground up, all while being a wife, a mother, and a dedicated community leader who gives back in countless ways. What strikes me the most about Audrey isn't just her success, it's her spirit. She is a woman who leans deeply into her faith, who shows up authentically for others, and who inspires people simply by the way she carries herself with strength. Today, we're going to talk about her journey, the obstacles she's overcome, the courage it takes to stand tall in the face of hardship, and the strength that comes from living with purpose and faith. Friends, you're about to be inspired by the strength of a faith-driven leader. This is Audrey's story. Well, Audrey, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. That intro, wow. Thank you.
Absolutely. I have looked up to Audrey in many ways for a very long time as a leader in our community. And Audrey and I were just talking that I had a panel at our shed location, and she sat kind of on stage with a couple other business owners and told her entire story, details that I had no idea. And I just thought it was the most powerful. And as I looked at her as a strong leader before, I walked away from that not blown away, honestly, at the strength that you carry through all that you've built.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I think let's take it back to the beginning. I would love for our listeners to hear who Audrey is, what do you love to do, and like just walk us through the steps of how you got to where you are today.
I am from this area. I grew up in Cold Spring, went to Ricori. I would say the business side of me, when I was thinking about that part, comes from my parents, both self-employed. So I grew up in a home of constantly working for their goals.
24 hours, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. My dad was a over-the-road truck driver, so long hours. Yeah. My mom owned a little store downtown St. Cloud.
Oh.
Yeah. So the long hours and do it because somebody else isn't there to do it for you.
Sure.
Can't hand it off. Yeah. So, and actually, when I think about it, that was instilled in all of us because my sisters were all self-employed.
Really?
So
cool.
So that I would say is the grounding of where the business side of me comes from. I am married. I have two little kiddos, not so little anymore.
Yeah.
My oldest is 17. Mm-hmm. Johnny is 9. So that keeps us busy. My husband is self-employed also. Mm-hmm. So
you are busy.
Yeah. Yep. He works in real estate, which we do together. Right now he's up north working on a couple of vacation rentals.
Wonderful.
That keeps us busy there. I run a mortgage company, like you mentioned, Keystone Home Finance. And I've been in that industry for over 20 years now. Keystone is 11 years old, 2014. Oh. I always say that's my first baby. And then Hope and Johnny. Yep. If I think more on kind of everything you talked about.
Yeah.
So growing up in Cold Spring, wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to get out of the small town.
Yes. I was there as well.
Yep. Left, went to school in the cities at the U, did some traveling. But of course, met a guy who's from the area. So came back and we started dating shortly after 9/11. And I mentioned 9/11 because he was in the military. After 9/11, we started dating, but he was deployed shortly after that. Mm-hmm. And that just catapulted our relationship because the distance makes your heart grow fonder.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, and you have to keep in touch with letters because he's overseas. So that made us move. It just grew our relationship at a different level.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. I did not see him learning something.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Yep. Yeah, he was a police officer in Cold Spring and in the military, so he did both. And then 9 months after we were married, he had a seizure and was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh.
Yep. So we walked through that, and he actually did very well with all the treatments, surgeries, everything. He had strength like...
You've never seen.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Were you talking about that before, too?
Yeah, yeah. And if anyone, I mean, everyone, unfortunately, now has been touched by cancer in some way, shape, or form, whether it's family, friend, colleague, and you see a different strength come out during that time. But he did really well through everything, and to the point where the doctors actually introduced him as his success story. Because he had beat it. He went back to work, and we got pregnant with Hope. Mm-hmm. And then when she was 9 months old, his cancer came back. Oh. And then it was like a tidal wave. It took over everything. Mm-hmm. And he passed away when she was 18 months old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So but that time, that is where... I mean, I had a relationship with the Lord beforehand, and, you know, that's my foundation. But walking through that where you can't carry yourself,
mm-hmm.
you grow in leaps and bounds.
Oh.
Yeah, you learn a dependence. Like, it's the Lord's my rock, and when I couldn't carry it, he carried it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And tell me, during that time, you have an 18-month-old. And were you in the financial world at that time as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you self-employed at that time too?
No. But I was 100% commission-based.
Oh, gosh.
So that's another part that I would say, you know, Dwayne couldn't work. And so it was up to me. But again, it's like I gave my worries to him, and we were carried through.
Wow.
Even when, you know, long hours. And there was many. I mean, I talk about, you know, Hopi... you know, playing at my feet at my desk. I mean, that was a regular occurrence.
Mm. Yeah. Crazy. So strong. That is one thing that I look to you in your story as a strength as you have moved forward. And just the way you carry yourself, Audrey, I just look at you as such a strong woman, even before knowing these details. So tell us a little bit more too. So you have an 18-month-old. And kind of walk us through the journey after that.
Mm-hmm. So before Dwayne passed away, he gave me an amazing gift and a great blessing. But and I think some couples have these discussions even when they're not ill. But, you know, if I pass away, would you move on? And, you know, we all make the joke, you know, yeah, absolutely. Or no way, you know, whatever it may be with your. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to have this discussion because that's not going to happen. Mm. And he's like, you know, we need to have this talk. And he asked me, you know, please move on. You know, you have to do that. And I said, no, I'm just fine being a single mom. Lots of people do it. And then he said, if you're not going to do it for you, you have to do it for her. Because she needs to be able to see a happy marriage. And I want you to have that. So if you're not going to do it for you, do it for her. I should have warned everyone I wear my heart on my sleeve, right?
I love that about you. I love that about you.
Anyways, so that was a great gift because even after he passed away, I'm like, oh, no way. I don't want that. And then after a little bit of time went on, I remember one night I had my notebook and I thought, okay, God, I'm going to write down the perfect guy, everything I want. And, you know, I made my list and I clearly remember putting it in my nightstand and laughing, going, okay, God, you can do that. All right. Then, you know, then I know you did it because he does not exist. And then I should mention, so Dwayne, I met him or knew him through my brother-in-law. It was his best friend, my older sister's husband. My other brother-in-law, my younger sister's husband, said, you know, get out of the house, do a hobby that has nothing to do with Dwayne, something so that you can start to have a little bit of that light back in you. And he said, how about you go golfing with Eric? And I thought, golf? Oh my goodness. You're right. That won't remind me of Dwayne. He was fishing, hunting, and, you know, all the outdoor things.
And were you a golfer?
No, never picked up a club. Never.
Great.
Yes. I knew Eric again. He grew up down the street from me. So I knew him, knew of him, but
it wasn't as bad going golfing.
Yes. Yep. So there was a little bit of a friendship. And that friendship grew and sure enough, you know, I still remember looking at my list going, wow, I actually think you checked everything off my list. Mm-hmm. Here's this perfect guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he, yeah. So then we started dating, and then that story took a turn because he proposed to me in January, and on February he was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And that, Eric and I talked about this last night when I actually told him I was doing this, and we talked about that time frame. Mm-hmm. And he said, too, God had a hand in that because he brought you, me, into his life in the exact timing, knowing he was going to have to walk through that. And I had just walked through it. So it was like I don't know where that, well, I do know where that strength came from. It came from my relationship with God, but it was like I was able to just swoop in, and these are the calls we're going to make. I have the Mayo on speed dial already, and we knew everything to do, and it was, yeah.
Wow, and how long did that journey or that battle?
So Eric had colon cancer. He had a lot of ups and downs with that. That was a trying situation. There was many times that we got scheduled for surgeries and something just wasn't right. There was always a complication. And his cancer, so when they do cancer screening, they always take blood tests, and often that shows up in markers. His did not. It never showed up. Okay. Never, ever. So that's part of why he was likely missed along the way, because he went in with numerous problems that he was having, and they said, you're 29. You don't have cancer.
Wow.
And then we went to the Mayo and they said, we don't look at birth dates because we see babies with elderly cancers. So had all his previous appointments probably not had that, maybe it would have been sooner. But he had a kind of a roller coaster of treatments, I guess, would be, because it would be things are scheduled and then canceled, put off for a month. So he went through that for a year after that. But we did get married during that time frame.
Oh, wow.
Yep. We were putting nothing on hold. Yeah. And then after about a year, then he was done dealing with that. And then we started trying to get pregnant.
Okay.
And that took 4 years. Oh. That was a very long, and that we had another very defining God moment when we both said, you know what, we're just fine with our family of three. We're very happy this way. No more pressure. We're not going to do this. I was pregnant and we tried 2 in vitros. Didn't work. 8 IUIs. We tried everything. Finally, when we both threw up our hands and said, no more, in 1 month I was pregnant.
Wow.
Against all odds, they said that he won't be able to. Yeah, because of it was colon cancer. The treatments that they did, the radiation, they said, you won't be able to get pregnant naturally.
Unbelievable.
And we have a healthy little spunky, my firecracker Johnny.
My firecracker. Everyone's got to have one.
Yep.
Just kidding. Let's talk about, so it is incredible the power behind, and side note to anyone listening, I would say whatever your faith looks like or doesn't look like, that is completely up to you. Mm-hmm. And I welcome all perspectives at any given moment. For listeners who might be in the middle of their own storm, and it might be in an early age and it might not be, mm-hmm. whether it's on a family level, work level, anything, personal career, in between, what would you say, what are practical ways that someone could lean into faith a little bit more when they're really struggling, or maybe turn to faith for the mm-hmm. first time?
I think just knowing that you were not made to carry it on your own. Jesus literally says, I will carry it for you. If it's too heavy for you, you're not meant to carry it. So giving it to him, giving that worry to him, handing it off, the weight that it takes off your shoulders so that you can do the things you have to do, like take care of the baby when you're alone, when, you know, you went from what you were in the midst of to now it's all on your shoulders. Well, how about some of that weight comes off because the Lord's there to carry it.
That's a very powerful statement, because talking about my story a little bit, you guys have probably heard, there have been moments climbing the corporate ladder to going on my own journey. I am married. I obviously have 2 kiddos that are not small anymore. Through starting my own business and through the ups and downs and everything in between, I just had this sense of like having to prove myself to everyone. So I was really in it alone.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Not alone in a sense that I didn't have the best team, because I do, and I have the, you know, best family to back me up at all times. But there's just the pressure. There's this pressure of needing to prove your worth and prove that you're strong enough, prove that you're capable of. And there have been, over the last 6-7 years of moving through as a business owner, but even further back as a leader, as a parent, and everything in between, there are moments that feel lonely. Mm-hmm. And I think there's definitely been harder moments amongst it all that you finally, like I finally threw in the flag at one point and said, I can't do this alone. And for me, the entrepreneurship journey, I'd say in the last couple of years, is finally when I have allowed myself to dig into someone else, mm-hmm. To help me kind of on the back end with things, and honestly, spiritually as well.
Yep.
There's been a few times that I've cried and cried and cried, and I literally will brush myself off, get up and say, I'm going to give this to God.
Yeah.
And move forward.
Yeah.
Giving it to God because I trust that I am on the right journey. I believe in what I bring to the table, and for everything, everyone who is part of my team or part of my journey or the people that I've met, there is a reason for all this and I know it. So for me, I've actually leaned into my faith more in the last 2 years than I ever have before. And I think that has a lot to do with being on the board and being a part of the Indy Foundation as well. So with your story, that is such a powerful message, because no matter where you're at in life, even if you're not a business owner, even if you don't have someone, if you're fortunate enough to not have someone, you know, fighting a health battle, you don't have to go through this life alone.
Right.
And you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. So whether that means diving into your faith or leaning on someone to be there with you or help you or talk to someone, please don't do it alone.
Yes. And the peace that that brings.
It does.
When you lay it down and take it off your shoulders, the peace that it brings is, I mean, like they say, it surpasses all understanding. It's worth everything.
I agree. Now, walk us through. So you are the owner of Keystone Home Finance. Let's get to that journey. I want listeners to hear your career and all the steps leading into entrepreneurship. So your husband's cancer.
Yep.
And then move us forward from there.
Sure. Yep. So I started in the industry in 2004, and I just worked for a local company. And I was completely commission-based, which I love that. I like no limits. I like that if I want to shoot for the stars, I can. And my own limitation is myself. Mm-hmm. And that was excellent way to start being a stepping stone into being self-employed, because I feel like mm-hmm. you have to have the same drive there. Mm-hmm. And I did that until 13. And another God moment, in December of 13, the company I worked for, I always had to turn in my ads, which was normal. And I never got approval for them because I'd been doing it so long, I knew what I could and couldn't. And in 10, I started doing a billboard on 23, and I still have that billboard. And I changed it every 4 months. Well, that 2013, I turned it in, and I always do a Merry Christmas one. And they just sent back an email, no more, don't do this. And at that point, I had already been feeling this nudging, like, there's a different way to do this. This, it shouldn't be this corporate. You can talk to borrowers and handle this differently, just in the way the everyday process was. So then that was kind of like the push, the message I needed to go do this yourself. You keep saying you could do it better, then go do it. So then from December of 13 till May of 14, I worked on getting everything ready, the licensing, the bonding, the insurance, everything I needed. And then in 14, I went on my own.
Oh, wow.
And never looked back. It was the best decision because I feel like the borrower, the person taking out the mortgage, they are number one. Mm. And everyone is different. Their priorities are different. Their needs are different. And they need to be seen that way. And the fact that they're trusting me with likely their biggest investment,
yes,
that's important. And it needs to be treated that way. They're not just a number in the computer.
Oh, I couldn't love that more. And that's why you're so successful. Because when you are in such a critical time in your life and you're able to sit down and be heard, and then you customize mm-hmm. kind of their experience for them in purchasing something. So I did lending for years, actually, and I hate buying cars. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I know credit reports like the back of my hand. I taught lending for many years. And listen, I still clam up like a little girl who's never been in that world ever. It's uncomfortable for some people. And so for you to make that such an experience is very incredible, very powerful, and it definitely speaks to your character.
Well, and each person sitting at that desk is different. And whether it's a first-time home buyer or they're buying their 10th investment property mm-hmm. or that vacation home they've been saving for in Florida, every single one is totally different. And how we can just put a number on it and put them in a computer and they're all the same, they are not. And there's mm-hmm. no way you can do that. So that was one milestone or guideline sure. I wanted to create. And it just naturally has gone forward because that's mm-hmm. how I want to be treated.
That's amazing. So walk us through just really quickly for someone who is looking to purchase a home, like tell them about how to communicate with you. Like what is the next step you take? So someone is interested in purchasing a home. Do you get them pre-qualified? Like
yeah.
What is that
so
process?
I always liked to sit down and meet with the person. Okay. I feel like I get a better grasp on their needs. 2020 really changed that though. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of made a lot of people see, well, I don't have to leave my couch to sure. do this. And you don't. But I still like to at least have a phone call conversation.
Yes.
But there's a generation out there that is very happy doing it through email and text. So really, I would say any avenue that is most comfortable for the borrower is just fine. There's some people that prefer to do things all remotely.
Yes.
And by email, text, which are fine. There have been some people that I never actually speak on the phone or in sure. person to. And we can do it any which way, whether they email over documents. We, of course, have a secure system that they can send everything mm-hmm. through. It's pretty seamless. And then we go through the different loan options. There are so many, which mm-hmm. comes into the, what's the saying, square peg, round. You know, nobody will fit in perfectly.
Sure.
And there's so many options from self-employed to fresh out of college, starting your job. And then so many different down payment options. So it really, what fits your needs?
I love that. What do you think with home buying and going through the loan process, what is one piece of advice you can give to maybe someone is coming to you?
When in doubt, ask. Definitely. There are so many, you know, I didn't want to bother you, so I did this. And then now we're having to fix what could have been just a phone call to say, don't do that. So I say, when in doubt, just ask. You're never going to be taking up time. Your question is never going to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that. I think going into that process, what I've learned too, sitting on your side of the table, is lending, whether it's for a vehicle or for a home, in your case, obviously a home or a property, you feel kind of silly because you don't know what mm-hmm. you don't know.
Yeah.
Is what I've experienced with like clients that I've worked with. And it's critical on your behalf to walk them through this process, every little tiny detail, as
yes.
if they've never even heard of any of the language before.
Right. Yep.
And then from there to say, if you are in the middle of sleeping and you wake up and you have this question, that's please reach out to
yes.
me immediately.
Yep. Absolutely. And the process should be exciting. It shouldn't mm-hmm. be anxiety filled. It should be exciting and maybe even fun if, you know, you want to look at signing your name away. But it's a great process. And I think there's too much negative stories out there that have kind of ruined, or not ruined, but they just put a dark cloud over the process, and it doesn't need to be that way, which was part of the reason why I thought, you know what, I can do this better. I can create a better foundation. And that's what really pushed me forward.
I love that. There needs to be more people like you in the world.
Aww.
When going through the days when I was at the credit union and then meeting different people in the financial world, even after as a business owner, I most definitely, especially now with my relationship building on the financial side, it's really, I don't want to say it's rare to come by, but that deep connection that you make, that is a very incredible quality.
Thank you.
For anybody out there. So I highly recommend to reach out for
sure. Thank you. Thank you. And questions too, just like I've had people say, well, I already have a relationship with this bank, but I just have a question. Can I just double check something? Absolutely. I would never turn that away. Definitely reach out, ask a question. And if you're not on the right path, then I'll be honest. If what they're offering is something better than what I could do, I'll be totally honest and say, that's great. And I have relationships with different local banks and others where if I know they have a product I can't do and it's a better fit for that person, then I'm definitely going to say, you know, here's what I can do. But go visit with so-and-so because they might have something that's a really good fit.
I love that. It's doing business with integrity and that really the connection with who you're serving.
Yes, exactly. What's best for them?
We talked a little bit about the process in which you serve those in front of you within your business, but also you've grown, the business has grown pretty mm-hmm. significantly. Mm-hmm. How many people do you have on your team?
Five
people. Okay. So you're a mom, mm-hmm. you're a wife. You are an entrepreneur mm-hmm. and you're a definite leader mm-hmm. and you lead a team. Tell me like the journey with that just a little bit. You know, there's definitely it's the most rewarding. There are struggles within leadership, yes. especially with your own business.
Yeah, with running a business, leading by example is so important because it's no different than your kids. How can you tell them you can't do that, but I'm going to do it? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can set an example of how you want the process, the loan process to be run, behind the scenes to be done, it should flow seamlessly. And obviously there's always hiccups and little bumps along the way yeah. where you need to help. But I think just leading by example is a huge step.
I agree with that. So you are known for your kindness and you're driven and very determined. And I think everybody who meets you knows that. So how do you balance compassion with strength in leadership, especially with your own team?
Yeah. Well, I think personally me, I'm my biggest competitor. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep track of everything. I'm a numbers nerd. Obviously, you have to be doing this. So that part with my own drive comes down to, I don't really look at it as goals. I look at it as, where was I before and how can I be better? Sure. I want to be better tomorrow. I want to be better the next day, the next week. And that's a full circle from the business side of things to personally, my household, everything. And then I'm hoping that that would transpire right into the way I'm doing business with my employees.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You and I have had these conversations and it's one thing to have your own business. It's another thing to lead a team within your business and to stand strong in your values,
yeah.
find their strengths, and see how kind of everyone intermixes together and works well together while leading the mission that you all as a team lead forward.
Right. And finding everyone's individual strengths is very important because just because I excel at organization, the next person doesn't.
Yes.
So what can I have in place to help them? Because I don't want them struggling with a weakness that's just, they're not good. That's not their area and they're yeah. not going to be great at it, but they're really great in this other area.
Yeah. And when you can find that, you become an even stronger, better leader when you can take a breath and sit back and really evaluate and look at the true strengths of your employees or your team, and then kind of create like a little bit of a development plan for each of them. Mm-hmm. And while you may be busy in your to-do list every single day, of course, especially keeping up with clients and customers and whatnot, it is absolutely imperative and important to sit back and kind of think about each individual, what they bring to the table, and what could selflessly help them.
Yes.
So their development plan. And whether that means gaining information or learning or education or training in their role, it might be on a personal level as well, or their future goals or future outside of, you know, Keystone Home Finance's future. You just never know. But it's so important to, like, really feed into your leadership team.
Right. And I think for me, family is first. So sometimes with different employees over the years, if there's something going on that you can see there needs to be more family time or there needs to be an adjustment because of family, if that's first and they feel seen and heard in that area, it'll be different what they bring to the table.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that's us as moms. We've been through it ourselves. We have fought the good fight through work and everything. And it's not over yet. But if there's one thing that I always say I could bring to my team, it's like time.
Yeah.
I may not be able to pay $1 million. You know, if I won the lottery, I sure would. But I can give you time with your family is the most important. So to me, I'm so grateful being an entrepreneur. Yes, I put in 7 days a week, sometimes, honestly, 18-hour days. Absolutely. But there are other times, like my daughter's a senior this year, and I legitimately am being very intentional on how this year is going to look so that I don't miss anything. And I'm so grateful to go through this first because I think I know what it's going to feel like now. I'm going through these moments. Now I can be a better leader for my team when they have seniors and going through this. So I can be very empathetic throughout that journey.
Yes. Hope is a junior. And just last night, she was at an event at our church that was 6 hours long. Oh. We were getting down to eat and sitting down to eat and Hope wasn't there. And Johnny said, I miss when we pray at dinner with Hope because Hope always says, okay, who ate first? You have to pray. And nobody was there to say that. She wasn't there to say that. And he says, I miss Hope. I'm like, if we're starting this our junior year, she's going to be gone in 2 years. What are we going to do?
And it goes quick. That is for sure. Yeah. You are a leader. Let's talk about just like you, what that means in the community, because you do so much for others. And I know from experience, you're always thinking about how you can help others. Mm-hmm. And being a leader in this community, and you have been for a long time, what does that mean to you?
I feel like we all grow together. You gain by giving. Whether that is giving your time, giving your help, giving financially, you yourself gain with that. Mm-hmm. And whether it's your business growing or you personally, you can't, what's the saying about the candle? You have to light someone else's candle with your, you know what I mean?
I do, but I can't think.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. But you only grow when you're helping someone else, whether that is helping. Like, I have a big heart for, like, military and police and fire and first responders. I mean, they selflessly give every single day.
I agree.
When everyone's running away, they're running in. So helping them is a huge part of my heart, and helping other small businesses, because I know that struggle from when I was just a little kid. And Dad would be gone all week and then come home and he would sit there and do his books on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. And Mom, you know, long days and then come home and have to do all that. So I saw that from a young age all the way up to now that's me.
You know what? I think you just opened up a core for me, because I have this absolute drive to help other small businesses too. And on a surface level, like going through it myself, I wanted to give back the support that was given to me. But actually, you just opened, honestly, core memories for me that I think we have that in common. Growing up with entrepreneurs in my family and looking at the work that they did and what it meant to our family and your survival of, you know, finances and all of those things. You're right. That is, I think, to my core, little did I know, but that's probably a really big reason why that means so much to me as well.
Yeah. And you want to help the neighbor next door because you know what they're doing on their sleepless nights. And
I love it. So as a business owner, as a leader, as a wife, as a mom, as a family member, as a friend, what I love talking legacy, and I don't think I've done that enough, but what is the legacy you want to leave for others?
That's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I would probably go back to the helping each other, helping others. You will always gain from lending a hand to help someone in some way. Absolutely, no matter what their need is. Maybe it's just a conversation. Maybe they just need a boost because they've had a difficult day. I think just lending a hand in some way, shape, or form.
Now, if a listener feels stuck in a struggle right now, what encouragement would you share?
Not to take it on alone. like you said, whether you are going to have some prayer time and give it to the Lord, whether you are reaching out to family, friend, or pastor. I was thinking about that last night, too, when I was thinking about this. I wonder how many times our pastor came to our house over the last how many years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was one of the first phone calls, good and bad. When we finally found out we were pregnant with Hope, and Eric and I found out we were pregnant with Johnny, our pastor was one of our first phone calls. So to have that relationship, and if it's not a pastor, is it a neighbor? Is it a family member? Is it a sister?
A friend.
Yeah, absolutely. But don't do it all alone. And it's okay to say no. I work on that every day.
Yes, agreed.
Can't do it all. And I feel like I can do that. I can do that. And someone needs a little help. I can do that after I do this. Well, pretty soon I have to figure out how to add an eighth day into my 7-day week.
I say that to my mom. I always say, gosh, if there was only enough time in the day or more time in a day. And she said, Lindsay,
you'd fill it up.
You would fill it up. Exactly.
Yes.
So,
yes. So it's okay to say no.
I love that. Now, what's one thing that you have learned about yourself that you wish that you had known earlier in your journey? And I think this could inspire and will inspire this entire conversation for those that maybe own a business and don't. If you're a leader or not, going through a home finance process or not, there's many different ways here. But what is one thing that you wish you would have known a little bit earlier? That you learned about yourself.
About myself, like business-wise, personal-wise.
Whatever that may be.
You know, in the beginning, you talked about strengths. And I would say that all my strengths come from lessons learned. They come from things we've all walked through. And I think sometimes people like to bury those hard times when we can learn from them. And maybe we were walking through those hard times to help others.
Sure.
Maybe that hard time was because there's going to be an opportunity to share that and help someone else that's going through something just as difficult.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't love that more. What a gift it has been to sit with Audrey today. Her story, her strength, and her faith are a reminder that true leadership isn't measured by titles or achievements. It's measured by impact. It's measured by the lives you touch, the hope you bring, and the way you show up for others when they need it most. Audrey is such a powerful example of that. She is more than a successful business owner. She is a pillar in our community, a woman who genuinely wants to help others and do good in this world. Her influence doesn't come from standing above people, but from standing beside them, encouraging them, and reminding them of their own strength. That is leadership at its core. And I think that's why Audrey's story matters so much, because it shows us that leadership isn't about being perfect or never facing a hardship. It's about how you carry yourself through it. It's about resilience, it's about faith, and it's about choosing to rise, not just for yourself, but for the people watching who need to believe that they can rise too. So to everyone listening today, I hope you walk away with this. You don't have to wait for a title to lead. You don't have to have it all figured out to make an impact. Start where you are. Lead with kindness, with courage, and with purpose. Because when we live like Audrey does, with a heart to serve and a vision to do good, our communities become stronger and our world becomes brighter. Audrey, thank you for being the kind of leader who makes others want to lead better. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Leveling Up with Lindsay. Until next time, keep standing in your purpose, keep choosing to rise, and keep leveling up.
Thank you
for being here with
me. This was great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you found this information helpful, please share it with a friend. If you're looking for more information on the topics we covered, please head to the show notes below. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star rating and review, this would help this mission and our journey to get started. Let's make today and every day an opportunity to level up. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep striving, and keep making a difference.